Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Hey, on this week's show, Aaron, we've got so much stuff. And I think we got a lot done because Matt's not here to bug us. It's just you and me. Nah, we miss you, Matt.
Yay. He does talk a lot.
We miss you, Matt. So, we're going to talk this week about Matt and I went to a party. It was a kickoff cocktail party, and we talked to the publisher of Triple Zero Magazine and got some really cool insight. That is one heck of a magazine, more like a coffee table book. We're also going to talk about how did I not know there was an international car forest in the Nevada desert? How did I not know that?
That's so cool.
I know. And then you can rent a ZL1 750 horsepower Camaro, and we're going to tell you where. It's all on this week's show, plus a bunch more. And Aaron, we should just get into it. But before we do, let's talk about Continental. Think about all the weird things found in cars. I'm not talking about your garden variety petrified French fries or melted crayons. I'm talking about live snakes, bizarre trinkets, the kind of stuff that just makes you wonder about folks. Another thing that'll make you wonder, but in a good way, are Continental belts. Bet you didn't know that they're OE in tens of millions of Chrysler, Dodge, Ford, and GM vehicles that roll off the assembly line. They're also OE on the majority of BMWs and VWs. Now, Continental is launching the aftermarket Multi-V belt with the OE pedigree. It's their OE technology series, belts that are fanatically engineered for perfect fit, form, and function. And Continental has an OE Technologies series Multi-V belt for 98% of the vehicles on the road in the U.S. and Canada. Hey, you can get enough surprises working on cars and trucks. A belt shouldn't be one of them. Go with Continental OE Technology Series Multi-V Belt, the belt with OE pedigree. To get the full story, visit OETechnologyseries.com. Now, let's get into this show.
Racing, rides, people, and places. With your hosts, Brad Banjor, Matt DeAndrea, and Aaron Hagar. New media for a new type of motorsport enthusiast.
So Matt's not here, as we said. We got Aaron on the phone. Hopefully his power won't go out, because, dude, what is going on?
So
snow!
Funny.
Snow!
It's crazy here.
It's still...
We got snow the other day.
Isn't it still officially summer? Fall hasn't even started yet.
I know. Well, it did stick in some places. It didn't stick here at the house. It was just snowing for about half an hour, but it was big flurries. It was coming down. But
yeah, well,
there's pictures all over social media of an inch of snow, half an inch of snow all over Tahoe.
Well, I saw
a couple on the mountain.
I saw your dog Jeep under an inch of blankets.
Yeah, that made both of us. I was under the other half.
That's awesome. So, so you weren't down here, but last Friday night, Matt and I, we rolled up to Beverly Hills. Yeah, just, you know, I'm not bragging. I'm just saying, you know, we're in the hills, and we were invited to a cool little cocktail party. And have you ever seen Triple Zero magazine? It's a Porsche enthusiast magazine.
No, I haven't, because I there's not a lot of bookstores left, but I've seen it online. It's a beautiful, beautiful publication.
Yeah, I don't think they even sell this at bookstores or anything like that. It's subscription only, and I believe the subscription is like $250 a year, and you get four issues because it's quarterly.
Wow.
But it's like 300 pages. It's like a coffee table book on super, super heavy stock. And now I know Mikey, Michael Anthony, my business partner, your dad's bandmate. Now Mikey is a subscriber, and I've thumbed through it over at his house before, and it's fabulous. But you have got to be a dyed-in-the-wool Porsche fanatic, because these guys dive deep, man. I mean, did you see how they'll like do a whole 90-page article on the wings, the wing development for the Le Mans winning Porsche? I mean, it's like,
yeah, I see it's really, really detailed stuff, and it's a real premium subscription, and even a hardcover version. It's what a cool thing, you know. It's almost like a bespoke subscription to a magazine.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And when we interviewed the publisher, he even turned me on to a few things that I thought were interesting. Like, they don't, you know, publish back issues. They print so many, and when they're out, they're out. And he said, so now there's like a collector's market. And so there's guys that are paying top dollar, and they're becoming really valuable. So if you're at a garage sale and you see Triple Zero sitting on somebody's table, grab them, because he said they're going for like the very first issue, which is, hey, believe it or not, it's issue 000. If you see that one, he said it's worth almost $1,000 now.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now there's issues out so far?
Pardon me?
How many issues are out so far?
I think he said 20. I think they've done 20 issues.
Oh, that many?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And so this cocktail party that they had, first of all, it was at a really cool place. UTA, which for those of you who don't know, United Talent Agents, one of the biggest talent agencies for music, television, film, you know, all the dramatic arts. They're one of the biggies, and these guys got some scratch. And when these big companies have scratch, they do cool things like buy a freestanding building in Beverly Hills, you know, and gut it and make it into just a cool event space. So like if one of their rap artists or music artists or one of their illustrators want to have a gallery showing, they have a place to do it, and they can promote it and invite all
cool.
the press. Well, they also have it open, I guess, so you can rent, and Triple Zero had it there, and it was a really cool space. It was kind of like in a, almost like a neighborhood with a couple little commercial buildings, really high vaulted ceilings with exposed beams, and it was like a gallery, Aaron, just white walls and a cement floor.
Wow.
And
that's cool.
They had three cars in there, two very early Porsches, and one brand new. And what the whole thing was to promote, they did their fourth show this year that they call, it's really unique because it's all about the Porsches that are special order colors. You know how they have their special order program?
And yeah.
So to be in the show, you've got to have a car that is a special order car, meaning special order paint color. They call it Rare Shades, and this was Rare Shades 4. And so the cars that they had in there were all very unique colors, you know, because Porsche, yeah, you can take in your lampshade if you want and go, hey, can you match this?
Right.
You know, and they had like a woman that spoke on the panel. One of them was the head of Porsche's color design. The other one was a lady who represents the German automotive color. It wasn't syndicate, but that's what I think when I think about it. But it's kind of like Pantone here, but, you know, kind of determines all the colors. And then the other lady was an actual Porsche owner. Really interesting, because she said that that she got her first Porsche in 1984. She bought a Turbo 930 in Guards Red.
Wow.
And
that's a handful for
no
your first
kid,
Porsche.
No kidding. And then, get this, she bought a new one every single year since. And
oh wow.
And she said that for the first 4 years she always bought Guards Red so that her employees wouldn't know that she was getting a new car every year. She goes, my employees didn't know the difference between an 84 and an 85, or an 85 and an 87. She goes, they just saw my red Porsche. But what's most,
oh my gosh, hilarious.
You know what the most interesting part of this story is?
What?
She didn't sell one every year. She's kept every single one.
Whoa. Seriously?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Wow. She's got a big warehouse.
And since she got out of Guards Red, 4 years Guards Red, every other year has been a special order color. And they showed a picture of them.
Are these like Easter egg colors, or are these like nice colors? Because some of these special colors, yeah, I like the grays cool, and the kind of the clay colors cool, but then they start getting into like Easter egg colors.
Well, some of these are like that. I mean, you know, she had a pink one. She had a the one that they had there was that, they call it ruby stone, which is like a, you know, almost like a raspberry, you know.
Oh, my gosh. But Does she do contrast interiors?
Well,
too?
I was just going to say, she always orders a special interior. And I got to say, it's not the car I would order, but it didn't look bad. Because it's the full-on twin turbo. It had every option. And it was this ruby stone with a black and white houndstooth fabric interior.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I saw that interior in a GT3 RS, and mm-hmm. it was just stunning.
It's beautiful.
It was so cool, because it's just like hyper on the outside and totally classic on the inside.
Yeah.
It was really a neat combo.
So anyways, we pulled the publisher aside and had a great chat with him. We should play that right now. You guys can hear how he started Triple Zero and what it's all about and Rare Shades. And you ready to listen to that, Aaron?
Very cool. Let's hear it.
So, Pete, Matt and I are here. We're at the pre-party, a cocktail party here at the UTA Artist Space in Beverly Hills.
Yes.
It's for your Pre-Shades 4. Now, what I'm really intrigued about this is that it's all about color and about the form and the function. But before we get into that, I want to talk about the magazine, because it's really more like a coffee table book, Matt, than it is a magazine.
So it's called Triple Zero. Explain that. What's the book about?
Well, the book is focused on Porsche. But, you know, it's funny. Right before we launched, I went to dinner at a place called Foreign Cinema in San Francisco. It's one of the few restaurants in San Francisco that's just held up over all the years. And our server, we were talking with her, it was our anniversary, my wife and I. We were about to launch the magazine, I think the next night. And we started asking, are you local? All these things. And we had this fun conversation with her, and her father was a painter. And he drove a Porsche. And she grew up in the Mission District. And I thought, well, that's very unusual. First of all, a native in the Mission District. And second, someone in her 20s or 30s whose parents owned a Porsche in the Mission District. Who was a painter? This must have been someone quite good. But before we knew it, she came and said, could the chef come out? He'd like to meet you guys. So here came the chef, and he's a Porsche guy. And we started talking, and he was just a great, great guy. And he said, well, what is it? Your question. And I thought, well, it's kind of an art criticism piece that just happens to be about Porsche. That's the best way I can put it.
Yeah.
And the 000 is from where? How did you come up with that?
By process of elimination, actually, and total frustration. When we decided to start the magazine about Porsche, we made a list of what the rules were, what it could and could not be. So we wanted something that was graphically interesting, universal in language, didn't infringe on a Porsche trademark, wasn't cheesy Americana. So when Americans try to be German, like Schnell or whatever. And so when we were finished with our list of what it could and could not be, a set of rules, the reality was I had nothing. I couldn't think of anything that met the criterion. So I put it aside and worked on the business plan instead. And then I was photographing a 918 Spider with a photographer named Michael Allen Ross. He's done a ton of hot rod stuff and a lot of Porsche work. And I was cleaning a model badge for him. And it said 000 of 918.
Sorry to interrupt. I'm out of here. I'll see you tomorrow at 2 o'clock. I love you.
Hey, like we said, we're at an event, so this stuff happens. This okay. is part of the atmosphere.
Let's pick that back up again.
Yeah.
Give you a good pause. Got to think about exactly where I was. Sorry about that, gentlemen.
No, that's fine.
So I was cleaning this 918 Spider for a photo shoot with Michael Ross, and I noticed that the badge by the oil filler has the car's car number on it.
Yeah.
You know, 000 of 918 in this case, because it's a pre-production prototype. And I saw the 000 and I said, that's the name. It's perfect. Universal in language.
It's the beginning.
Graphically interesting. It's the beginning. It's also related in some ways to infinity. But the other thing I loved about it was Porsche, its model naming convention is right. typically three alphanumeric, usually numeric digits. And there's very few cases where it's two. But also, we car people, we talk in code. If you walk up to your friends and say, I've got a BMW M3, your friends get annoyed. Yeah, because they don't know yeah. what you're talking about. But if you say, I've got an E30 M3, everybody's on the same page.
Yeah.
We all do it. It doesn't matter if you're in a Pontiac or Porsche or BMW, whatever it is, Corvette. If you say, I've got a Corvette, everyone gets... Corvette people, you know, what Corvette?
Do yeah, wait, yeah, is yeah. it a Z06?
Or is it a C5? Yeah, exactly. C4, yeah.
And even the year can get annoying. But if it's the true conversandi, the people who really know Corvette, like a C3, everyone's on the same page.
Right.
Like immediately we know what the shape is.
Right.
And so I liked that about it too, because with 000, it's a reference to this internal code that the real anoraks, the real people who are super focused and interested in the cars, it honors that.
Well, I'm going to say something, because the very first thing I thought, the first time I saw an issue, which was at my business partner's house, who's a big Porsche fanatic, and he's a musician, and I looked at it and I said, wow, somebody has balls to start a magazine nowadays. Right? But then I looked at it, and to say it's a magazine is kind of a misnomer, because it's really, like we started out the show with, Matt, it's a coffee table book. But I want to know, this thing's perfect bound, it's on super heavyweight paper, but what's with the stripes along the side? Everything seems to have some kind of inner meaning, there's a lot of design and thought into every issue.
So our designer for 000 is Justin Page, creative director. Incredible background. If you Google Justin Page creative, his work is transcendent. It's fantastic design. And actually, when I started talking with him about 000, I said, does this interest you? My worry is that this is pretty simple, what I want to do, compared to your design, which is often quite involved. And he said, actually, simple is harder, and so I'm more interested. And the illustration he gave me was, if you ask me to make a line drawing with 300 lines, that's pretty easy, because I can have a lot of mistakes. If you tell me I have to give you a line drawing with 15 lines, every line counts. And so when we were doing the cover, Justin came back with this idea for these color bands. I looked at it, looked a little bit like a pool cue. Like, what exactly is going on with this? I don't like anything that doesn't have purpose. And then he told me what it was about. It was about those color lines are the colors of the cars that are featured in that issue. And so if the magazines are on a shelf, and you know roughly what year you saw that article, and you saw an article on an aubergine car, which is purple, you can go look within that range and you can pull the issue without having to open every one of them to find that article. And I've found that to be great because I did excellence for 15 years. And I know roughly what range things are in. I have to pull 5 magazines to find that purple card. So it's really a function. It's a function-driven element of design.
Yeah. You said you did excellence for 15 years. And for those that don't know, that's basically the Porsche, like, Owners Association magazine, right?
Well, no. So excellence is independent, and it's newsstand. And then Panorama, I did Panorama for 3.5 years after excellence. That's the Porsche Club of America's magazine.
Is it fair to say that this is really a nerdy, geeky Porsche book? Because that's how I look at it.
Yeah.
Because it is so deep and it so meticulously, and you go down the rabbit hole, you know?
I mean, it's, our view is, sure, I mean, it is geeky, it is nerdy, it is...
In a good way.
But hopefully in a good way. We don't necessarily view ourselves as nerds and geeks. We enjoy barreling into Turn 1 at Thunderhill at 145 miles an hour as much as the next person. But it's a deep dive into the brand. I'd been studying it for 18 years at these other magazines, and I wondered, is there more? And I wanted to get into these stories that we thought we knew, but maybe missed critical information. We wanted to get into documents. I had to clean my parents' house out a few years ago, and that was a huge leap. For anybody who's ever done that, you know what it means. And it's hard. There's times where you're taking things that your parents cherished, but you don't know what's valuable and what's not. And a lot of these car documents, it's not just Porsche, it's all cars, they end up in these shoe boxes or these boxes in the attic, and someone dies, and someone comes in to figure out what's worthwhile to keep or sell or estate sale or whatever, and a lot of stuff goes in a dumpster. And part of 000 is to save those stories and those documents, and when they're beautiful, we believe documents are beautiful, publish them.
It's an excellent observation.
And you brought up an interesting point about telling the stories, because what I've seen in 000 is you really go to a deep dive in some of the cars that you feature in the book, right? Like, if you're going to, you know, for example, Brad was with me when we purchased the Paul Newman Porsche with Adam.
We got to spend Adam's money.
You know, that's a great deal.
He and I were there raising the paddle, getting the car. And, I mean, for us, that car was about the story. So to do something on that car, it starts with buying that tub, Dick Barber buying that tub, and which is, by the way, it's chassis number 000935, I believe, which is fantastic. And then Paul Newman racing it, and then going on to Dick Barber and everything else, you know? So,
Nick, just doing a podcast, and then we'll be ready.
That's all right.
Sorry.
That's all right.
Please don't disappear. So
it's that deep dive into the stories that you were talking about.
You know, we really need a red light.
Yes, exactly. On the air, right?
Yeah.
On the air. What part of it is, and I can relate to what you're saying about the documents, because I used to own a car company, you know, where we built hot rods, and my business partner was notorious for throwing, I've told Matt this many times, he'd throw everything away, all the design drawings, everything, and I would fish them out and put them in the file cabinet, because for him the project was over. I realized that there was historical value.
The making of it is valuable.
Yes, and I think sometimes the designers, the people at the company, they're on to the next project. But for posterity and for the future and the history, you saving and cherishing those documents and what you're publishing gives the enthusiast so much.
It's important to us. And so a car, for 18 years I did excellence and then Panorama. And you know the deal with car media. So often the advertiser gets in the way of the storytelling for a lot of reasons, both visually but also in terms of page count. And so this thing's, 000 weighs 3 pounds. The issue weighs 3 pounds.
Yeah.
And how many issues have you published?
We're doing the number, the 12th right now.
Okay.
We're working on number 12 right now. Issue 0, and then we're working on 11 right now. And you look at this thing, only 5% advertising, so 95% content. A single article could be 90 pages on one car. But in the old
days...
That's
incredible.
In the old days, when I would do some of these articles at Excellence or Panorama, I was a little bit outside already. I would do 9 or 13 pages or something, and that was pushing the envelope. 5 or 7 was normal, and nowadays in print, 3 or 4. How do you sum up one of your hot rod projects in 3 or 4
pages?
You can't. And so for me, what excites me about Triple Zero is we can get into these photos. And when a car is a 917-30, it's the car that primarily won the championship. When it's that chassis, I want to see Roger Penske's fetishes. Like, I want to see his anodized blue trim. And I want to learn about the fact that when the car should have been blue gel coat, it wasn't good enough for Penske, so he painted it, even though it weighed more. I want to learn that stuff. And the only way I know how to do it is in print. And I can't really do it on the web in the same way. It's just a different interaction.
You're in essence the curator of some of this past and giving the enthusiast a way to find out about it that they would have never had.
And that's really the goal.
Is your intention for the book to be collectible? You want everyone to keep this and use it as a reference guide? Or is it more about just getting the information?
That's for them to decide. We feel like all we can do, same as if you're building a hot rod or a shoe or anything, so you can just build the best product you can, and you hope that your customers like it.
Yeah.
And then it's useful to them. We have seen some back issues go for some ridiculous prices, which makes me wonder if I should be in the business of reselling Triple Zero rather than selling Triple Zero.
Okay, so if back issues are going for high prices, why is that? Is there an exclusivity? Who do you have to be to get this magazine?
Anybody can subscribe.
Okay.
It's expensive for a magazine. It's $250 for a subscription. But I argue, how many hours of enjoyment can you get?
Yeah.
What do you spend for one tire? What do you spend for a night out at a show, a concert, plus dinner? So that's our view of it. And then as far as back issue pricing, you know, you can no longer get issues 0, 2, 3, 4. I'm not sure about 1. We don't have them. We don't have back issues. It's okay. A small run. And it's not to say that we won't reprint, but we will not reprint issue 0, the prototype. That's a one and done. The only way we might reprint that is as an S edition and a hardcover. We've had a lot of requests for that. But the other issues, the problem with reprints is the cost to fire up that printing press is extraordinary.
Yeah.
So I don't know if we'll reprint any of those.
Well, like you said, maybe the idea would be to do a hard copy version and sell it for, you know, for more money and make it more exclusive. But also, this is a complicated magazine. These stories that you guys are telling, so this isn't a monthly magazine either.
No, it would kill us to do more than 4 a year. And it already is kind of killing us to do 4 a year.
So it's a quarterly magazine. There's 4 a year. The subscription is $250 a year, but it's very limited advertising. It's meant to be something very collectible. It's meant to tell stories far more in depth and with photos and whatnot that you would be able to see in pretty much any other magazine out there.
Well, and there is a hardcover edition. So we also do a hardcover version.
Okay.
I didn't want to do it initially. One of the financial advisors for the magazine said, walk before you run. Don't do the hardcover yet. Don't do S.
Yeah.
And my business partner, Alexander Polevsky, said, nope, we're doing S out of the box. I was like, okay. Oh, man. So it's like, how do you deliver value? Because at the end of the day, that's what anybody needs to be doing if they're in business, is can you deliver value? So we do a hardbound version that comes with a metal VIN plate with an individualized serial number, say 124 of 999.
Okay.
And then every issue you get is that serial number. It's yours as long as you keep that subscription. And then it comes with a gift each year and then a metal slipcase. Because we also look at it as like, okay, everyone does cardboard slipcases with linen.
Yeah, yeah.
What can we do that's... So we found a small supplier here in California that can do metal slipcases.
Oh, really? That's
and
cool.
So nice. That's an expensive subscription, but it also has other things that are odd. The cover photographer, we do a lithograph that's embossed, and then we ship those lithographs to the photographer, and the photographer signs each one that goes to the reader. It's a nightmare to send paper to Czech Republic, I can tell you.
Yeah.
But we do it. So that's kind of the other side of Triple Zero.
So that's the magazine. Let's talk about the event before we wind this up. And it's basically around the premium colors, the colors that are rare. Is that really a good way to summarize it?
Yes and no. So Alex sent me a text that said, I have a genius idea in all capitals. Call me this afternoon. I thought, oh boy, if the text says it's genius, it's like it can only go downhill from here.
Yeah, right.
So I called him and said, we should do kind of a casual cars and coffee sort of thing for paint to sample. I said, you know, that is a genius idea. We live in a world now where every car on the freeway is gray, black, silver, or white.
Yeah.
You go down the road and everything's uniform. And Porsche has this incredible history with color. And 000 is focused on design and matters of design. And so color is a big part of design. And so we wanted to do something that honored color and reminded people that the world on wheels isn't only gray, black, silver, and white. And I like gray, black, silver, and white cars. So I said, let's make it a little bit more open, however. Let's make it for any Porsche in an unusual color from all of history. Because we want somebody to show up with an oak green 924. We want someone to show up with a 914. And they will, and they do. Rare Shades 3 in Florida, a woman showed up with a non-metallic purple Macan. And she was fabulous to talk to. She was a lot of fun, as you might imagine. So the idea of it is any unusual color. And the advantage of the older cars is it's kind of a moving target for when we say it's old. But there is kind of a point where our color group says, before this era, pretty much anything that isn't black, white, gray, or silver qualifies.
Yeah.
Because you just don't see Malaga red. You just don't see Oslo blue. You just don't see Irish green even. Irish green was a popular color. But how often do you see it every day anymore? And the answer is you don't.
Right. So at this event, I assume that if you walk the street leading up to it or the parking lot, it's all white, black, silver, gray cars.
Until you get there, right?
Yeah, until you get in.
Yeah, we may have some discussions about having a black and white ball or something.
Right, yeah. Okay, so where do we get information about the magazine, about the events that you put on? How do people subscribe or, you know, maybe even just attend the event?
Yeah, so tomorrow's Rare Shades 4 on 914, and we're also celebrating the 50th anniversary of the 914 tomorrow. But it's all in conjunction with the A plus D Museum, Los Angeles. And the A plus D Museum is doing an exhibit on 000 that will run through the end of November, November 20th or so. So I would first encourage people, go check out The Birth of a Magazine. It's at the A plus D. Anthony and Layla did a fantastic job with the displays. We're fired up about it. We love that show. And then as far as finding the magazine, it's pretty easy. You just Google 000 magazine, the numeral, 000 magazine. Or you can do that as our website. It's 000magazine.com.
Perfect. Great. Hey, thanks. We appreciate you inviting us.
Thank you guys.
Good luck at the show tomorrow.
Yes.
And we're looking forward to the exhibit.
We'll see you tomorrow.
Yes.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Thanks again.
Yes.
Appreciate it.
So that gives you a little bit of insight. I mean, it's, you know, he tells you about some of the design elements of the magazine and how it came to be and how many issues and what this Rare Shades event's all about. It's kind of cool, you know. It's
That's a lot of work, man. Could you imagine? I mean, have you ever published a magazine or anything like that?
I have, actually.
That's an insane amount of work.
I have. I used to do it back in the 80s when everything was done with wax and we had to cut everything, and they used to call me Elbows in the art department because I was the editor, and I would come in to check on stuff, layouts and like that, and they would always catch me walking out with like some photo on my elbow or some type or something, you know, because I'm notorious for like resting my arms and these, you know, what used to happen, guys, just for anybody who doesn't know, is today everything's electronic. But back then,
we had
what was called a typesetting machine, and
we
would submit all the type, and then it would come out wet, and you would have to hang it in these long sheets. Remember that, Aaron? And
I've seen it.
Yep, and then we would run it through a roller, which was just, you would put bars of wax, literally like non-colored, flavored, non-scented candle wax kind of stuff, and it would melt, and then these metal rollers, and you would run the photos, you would run the everything through there, and then you would have to cut it with razor blades and paste it onto these art boards. And you would have a wall of art boards, but what always confused people when they came in is that it's called pagination. It's how the pages have to lay out on the printer so that when they cut them and staple the magazine together, the pages actually line up. But on the wall, they don't line up. You've got page 1 and page 92, you know. And but Gosh, we used to be so much work. We'd have to burnish everything and cut it with X-Acto blades and then go back in with an inking pen and ink all the stuff in, or the little dots or the edges of photos. And oh my God, you just took me back to an area I didn't want to be.
Well, I'm sorry.
that was
real quick.
Dark
real
circles.
Quick, while we're on board, thanks. Yeah, no doubt. Is I have to say, when I was looking at the Triple O magazine, I stumbled across that new, you know, 917 and the concept cars and
yes.
all that. And Porsche, but just hats off to Porsche. They're doing some really cool stuff.
They are.
And you know, the new GT4, and I mean, there's some cool stuff out there with Porsche. So definitely go check it out and check out that magazine, because that thing is gorgeous. I got to get my hands on one of those.
Yeah, I know. I'm gonna start checking around Mikey's house and like, oh, hey, you've already read this issue, right? Can I have it? So,
oh, you got it. Oh, yeah. Hey, speaking of getting my hands on things, you know, I'm not a Camaro guy. I am a Mustang guy through and through. I have Chevys, you know, but I've never been a Camaro guy. But, man, that new ZL1, I know a kid up here that has a black one, and,
they're
it
nice.
Looks even better in person. Dude, they are badass, and that track package they have in white, oh, my God, that thing is gorgeous.
And the thing about it is, when you pull up to an intersection and there's one sitting there, you know right away. Because just,
oh, yeah.
you know, the wing, the way it sits, everything. It just, you know.
And the canards on the front. And,
yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's got, it is a downforce monster. And who cares if it slows it down a little bit? Because all you got to do is just take an opportunity to burn the tires as it's slowing down.
And with all the press cars, never had the opportunity to drive one. Never got to drive one.
Really?
No, I would like to. Wouldn't you?
Yeah. I'd like to drive any press cars, frankly, because none of them get sent up here to Tahoe.
Well, that's because it snows. They don't want them to get dirty and slushy and all that stuff.
Well,
you know?
Hey, I can, you know, Jay has hooked me up with McGuire's and Mother's, and all of our friends have hooked me up with detailing kits. That's not a concern. And a little drift action on a rainy road up here is awesome, because we got epic roads up here.
Well,
so,
hey.
Come on.
A little later in the show, we're going to talk about a vehicle that just came out, and it would be perfect for your neck of the woods. But
the smart scooter?
Yeah, the smart scooter, yeah. Hey, but you were talking about the ZL1, and you know, actually, you do have a chance to drive one, don't you?
Oh, really? Oh, that's right, the Hertz Hendrix Reynolds, huh?
That's right. Coming in October, anybody can drive one, and not just any ZL1, but Hertz has teamed up with Hendrick Motorsports. Those guys are 12-time NASCAR champions, so they know how to tune cars. And do you know that they've taken that and even bettered it by bolting on a Magnuson supercharger? And 750 horsepower, brother.
Oh, man, that is going to be pure smiles and worth every penny of insurance.
Yeah. But I mean, just think, if you're in Atlanta, Charlotte, Dallas, Fort Lauderdale, Fort Myers, Miami, Orlando, Tampa, man, they're going to be all over Florida, Houston, Las Vegas, Los Angeles, Nashville, Phoenix, San Diego, Tahoe, or San Francisco. Oh, wait a minute. They've got Tahoe in here, but then they have a red line through it. They must have taken that out.
No, that's if you want to rent a Chevy Tahoe.
But in those cities, starting in October, you're going to get to rent one if you want. I don't know how much green it's going to take, but you could sure lay some black rubber down on the pavement with that thing.
And I'll tell you this much, folks. If they ask you, would you like the insurance, just say yes.
Oh, hell yeah. Hell yeah. Now,
better to double up on that.
Now, Aaron, if you don't want 750 horsepower, you can still get an SS version, and you know, that one will get you out the door and down the road, 480 horsepower.
That's perfect. To me, that is absolutely perfect. 500 is great. Anything above that, yeah, it's even greater, but you can't use it, you know? It's like third gear burnout. It's like, come on.
I mean,
really? Where are you going?
And they've done some cool things because you saw the paint job they're putting on them, right?
Yeah, it's a lot of striping.
It was, you know, it's back to the black and gold, just like the old Hertz Mustangs. Yeah. And but a big stripe coming around on the canards and stuff like that. It's got some Fender badges, but they're only making 224 of them available at Hertz. So you better do it if you're going to do it, you know, because like you said, I can see maybe in the first month there'll be 200 of them available because the other ones, you know, some weekend warriors will stuff them into a wall or something. They'll go, I had the insurance. And then the lady behind the counter will go, but you weren't supposed to take it to the racetrack. And
Exactly. I wonder what the conditions are because, you know, I mean, reviewers are going to be renting them and you know, people are going to be wanting to do that kind of stuff, and they have to have some restrictions. I mean, it's not something you go, hey, I got to drive from San Diego to Phoenix. I'm going to rent one and just beeline it out on those open roads.
Wouldn't it suck, you know, you're on this flight, you fly in, you go, man, all I can do, I had the horrible flight, I was back in coach, some little kid was coughing on me and spitting on me the whole way. And
kicking my seat.
The guy next to me was snoring, and he spilt his coffee on my jeans. And so you go, but you know what? When I get there, I'm getting that Hendrick Motorsports Hertz ZL1 Camaro, so everything's going to be good. I don't care.
Yeah.
And you walk up to the counter, they hand you the keys. Now you've paid a premium. You maxed out your credit card to get it because it's expensive. You sit down, and there's a big sticker on the dash that says, "This car has been
break-in period."
No, this car has a limiter on it that it will not exceed 75 miles an hour. You know, and you're like, wait a minute.
Anyway, the speed limit's 80.
But
that's too funny. Hey, you know what I wonder? I wonder if they're going to be sold afterwards, like Hurt did, where you could buy a very inexpensive, hard used, put away wet 750 horsepower Chevy Camaro.
And you know what? That is exactly what everyone said about those old Mustangs. Who would want one of those after the rail car flick? Now look at them. But
that's what I mean.
Yeah, I want to tell you something else.
These are plastic.
I want to tell you something else. I think those cars have Brembos on them from the factory, if I'm not mistaken.
So
I'm going to tell you whether they do or not. 60-0.
We like Brembo.
Yeah, Brembo has been stopping champions on the track as well as drivers like you and me. You and me, Aaron, on the street for over 50 years. Brembo, the world in braking systems, has now made replacing the brakes on your everyday vehicle even easier. For domestic, Asian, and European models, from subcompact cars to full-size pickups, BrembostoreUSA.com is the place to go and to buy genuine Brembo OE equivalent replacement brake components. Whether it's UV coated brake discs, low dust premium ceramic brake pads, or high temperature brake fluid, go to BrembostoreUSA.com now and get the brakes that have been the choice of champions for over 50 years. And for a limited time, use code SHIFT10 to get 10% off your first purchase and help achieve that 60-0 braking performance you deserve and expect from Brembo. And everybody, remember, you're supporting the show when you put in SHIFT10. You get a deal, and we get your support. But what's interesting about this, Aaron, is that I've had a lot of people asking me, oh, man, but I, you know, no, BrembostoreUSA.com has all kinds of parts. Like for your BMW, if you needed replacement pads or rotors or something, they've got it there. And so, you know, check it out. And, you know, from everything from brake kits to just the parts, check it out. And remember, it's BrembostoreUSA.com. Check it out. Support us. Support the show. And maybe Aaron and I can afford a set of Brembos someday. So
and you know, and believe it or not, that ZL1 actually has a 6-piston big brake upgrade kit by
nice.
Brembo as well.
I knew it had Brembo's
labeled with Chevrolet Performance.
I knew
it's
that
like
thing.
In case braking wasn't good enough, it's a giant rotor that's a third of the size of the whole.
It's
a giant caliper that's third of the size of the whole rotor.
I know they're huge. I had a customer today at Bondspeed Wheels, and he's doing a Grand National Buick, and he goes, I'm using Brembo brakes off of a ZL1 Camaro. And I went, okay, you know we're going to need some brake clearance on that. And he goes, you can kind of, have you ever heard someone smile? I mean, you could hear him smile. He went,
If they have facial hair, you actually can as it brushes against the
But
mic.
This guy, he went like this. Here's what it sounds like to hear somebody smile. He went, yeah, I know, man. They are huge. They are huge. And I was like, I could just hear him smiling.
Awesome.
So anyways,
that's
hey,
awesome.
Dude, how did I not know about the International Car Forest?
About what?
The International Car Forest. How did I know? Did you know about this?
Oh, my gosh. No, I forgot about that. Yeah, you guys posted something about that. I know when you said it, I was like, what? International Car Forest?
Yeah.
Yeah, Brad, that looked amazing.
I mean, Cadillac Ranch, you went there on your road trip.
Right.
I was there years and years ago, and that's been there forever. It's cool. It's the Cadillacs sticking out of the ground. But this one, I ran across this over the weekend, and it's, Aaron, it's right in our own backyard. It's between your house and my house. It's in the Nevada desert.
Wow.
And you saw the photos. There are over 40 cars there. That dwarfs the Cadillac Ranch. And
yeah, definitely.
And there's like school buses. There's some old milk trucks. There's like a Dodge van that kind of they made into a bridge that goes over like this little wash. And so the story behind it is that some guy owned this land in the Nevada desert just off one of the little two-lane highways, and he had a few extra cars. So he thought, kind of, you know, do like Cadillac Ranch, stick them in the ground. Well, some artist was driving by one day, and he checked this out, and he thought, hey, that's cool. And so he went and talked to the guy. They became fast friends, started collecting cars, and it became like this art installation. They did it together, and it grew over the years. And then I guess as it goes, they were having some kind of party, and they got into a big knockdown, drag-out argument and never talked since, and they quit sticking cars in the ground. Their dream, I guess, originally was to have all those hills just covered in different car sculpture, but they got a good start at it, and, man, when you look online, there is some of the most incredible photography. One photographer did some night photography where he put the camera on a tripod on a moonlit night. And you know how you get that long exposure with the stars moving and the cars are lit up by the moonlight? It's just, I'm seeing a road trip, man. I got to go.
Yeah, me too. I'm heading down this weekend for Jesse's event at the Peterson Museum. And, Maybe we'll stop on the way back on Sunday.
Yeah, it looks cool. I'm seeing a road trip. Maybe head over there, then come back down through Death Valley, and I'm thinking of, you know, a winter road trip. Go from, because that gets snow up there in the high desert. I think those cars would look awesome sticking out of freshly, you know, fallen white snow. Wouldn't that look cool?
Oh, definitely, but just don't do it in a Hertz Camaro.
Why not? I'll have full insurance. Full insurance.
Yeah, but it's two-wheel drive with way too much horsepower and probably summer tires.
Hey, but anyways, we got to check it out online. It's called the International Car Forest in the Nevada Desert. I'm seriously going to go. I am going to plan a trip, make some kind of adventure out of it, and, you know, maybe there to Vegas to from the forest to Vegas to the Death Valley. Boy, my mind went blank there. Death Valley and then back home. I think it would just be a great trip in some great kind of car. You know, maybe a Bentley Bottega. Maybe I can get Bentley to give me a Bottega and take that on a road trip. Oh, no. Whenever we get those fancy ones, they say, oh, you're limited to 150 miles or 300 miles. And you're like, what? You know, I want to.
Yeah, there goes my cross country trip.
Yeah, I was going to try and do the cannonball run in that thing, man. I was going to.
Are they still doing that, or was it called something else? Didn't we talk
there,
about
well,
that?
Well, there's all kinds of gumball runs and rumball runs, and but the cannonball,
snowball run.
Exactly. So, anyways, hey, you brought up Jesse Combs, who left us way too soon last month in August when her land speed attempt failed with a disastrous and fatal accident. And they're going to have a service for her, but also as part of that, the Peterson Museum from the September the 22nd to the 25th, they're going to do a limited exhibit. Did you see this?
Yeah. I know you guys are going to be busy, but I'm actually going to the opening and the services. I got an invitation this weekend, so I'll see it. But yeah, folks, this is a pretty special event. Those of you that knew her or know of her or don't, go check it out if you're in the LA area. It's I'm looking forward to the exhibit and maybe learning about some things I didn't know. But it all goes to charity and support her. Her cause, and it's an honorable thing. And in the automotive space, she was a very significant person as well as friend.
Well, the thing about this, well, first of all, I want to say I would love to be there. I found out about the exact date way too late, and we are already booked to do a Man Seeks Adventure live appearance for Shell, and so unfortunately, I won't be able to make it because we got to keep our sponsors happy. The Peterson Museum, this exhibit is September 22nd to the 25th, and what it is going to be is a lot of stuff from her Long Beach shop, like her helmets, memorabilia, her welding jacket, a lot of things that meant a lot to her, and they're saying it's free to look at, but they're asking that you make some kind of a contribution, which will go towards a new Jesse Combs Foundation, and that foundation is going to be in her name to kind of really continue to push what she always pushed, getting women involved in motorsports, but even more than that, in fabrication and in the art of welding and metal shaping and all that kind of stuff. So any donation will go towards that.
And in my opinion, she was really a confidence builder. You know, she helped teach people, you know, how to fabricate and all the details of that. But what she was just a great motivator and a great motivator of confidence. And I think what she did in the beginning was really inspire, you know, young women and women of all ages, really. To jump into it, to try it, you know, that it, you know, she was very authentic and quote unquote the real deal. And
what that translates to is she didn't take any shit. Okay.
she could be overly tough at times. But
yeah,
no,
she was awesome.
And this is the message that we want to continue. You know, is to get women. I mean, we all love to see women in motorsports, and not just, you know, as women, but as good characters, and like we like to see them succeed, and we like those stories. And Jesse stood behind that 100%. That was her
her biggest mission was just to keep women interested and preserve this whole industry. It was fantastic. We want to see that continue with her and with many others.
Absolutely.
Her foundation, yeah, but her foundation is going to be a movement, and we want to support that.
And you know what? If you're not in the LA area and you can't make it out here, don't worry. You can still show support by going to peterson.org. And remember, Peterson Museum is P-E-T-E-R-S-E-N. So it's peterson.org /Jesse, J-E-S-S-I. Then
I, yeah.
Yes.
Remember the I.
So it's peterson.org /Jesse, #support. So if you put all that together, and I'm going to put this on our social media page, and we'll put it on our website underneath this show, but it's peterson.org /Jesse, #support, and you can make a $5, $10, $50, or $100 donation to support the Jesse Combs Foundation. Super easy. They got a button there. You just click it. You put in your info and, you know, support it, man. You're not just supporting Jesse Combs, you're supporting what she believed in, what she lived and breathed every day, and you're going to make her smile just by supporting her foundation that now lives in her name. And man, couldn't be for a better woman. She rocked. Better person. I mean, you know, she just, you know, every time I saw her, she put a smile on my face. So you know, hey, I'm sure you'll bring us some input on that when you come back.
Absolutely.
Hey, what I want to talk about is something new. I want to talk about something new. That Land Rover Defender. Now, the Defender, Aaron, originally.
Dude, I know.
Military vehicle. Talk about badass.
Yeah,
don't take any shit.
All-purpose.
That's the car. That's
all-purpose vehicle, yeah.
Yeah.
I think originally it was an all-purpose vehicle. Military, farmers, I mean, it had a PTO. It was really the vehicle of all vehicles. Not so much like our early Jeep, which was primarily a military contract. But
yeah
the original Land Rover was just like the all-purpose vehicle.
And you're absolutely right. It was also, because it was stripped down and utilitarian, it was favored by a lot of British farmers and like that because they could afford it and it was a workhorse.
Yep.
And so
yes, literally.
Yeah. And so now that Land Rover announced a few years back that they were bringing back the Defender, oh boy, you would have thought that hell had broken loose because you know, it was all over the internet, man. There's no way. If you're bringing that name back, it better be one hell of a vehicle. And, you know, you've seen it. You've seen all the flack from people. Well, it came out. People that all they've seen is a photo, and they're already bagging on it. And, you know, but.
Yeah.
But I've talked to some
I've got my pros and cons. I've got my pros and cons, and I'm a borderline fanatic, and I don't know, I'm kind of on the fence on it. I mean, I might do it if I can afford it, which it seems affordable. They start at like $45,000 or something.
Yeah,
but I don't know. It looks like a Defender, it looks like a Discovery, or it's very modern, but it has a lot of the traditional features that have been kind of put in there as design features and design cues. And I get it, but it's tough. You have to kind of see it with modern eyes and kind of a classic heart, you know. I don't know,
but everything has to move on, you know. It's
of course.
You know, the Sopwith Camel isn't being used over in Britain anymore either, you know. So you know, it's a modern jet fighter, but the The thing
the
is
features
that
are badass.
I spoke to a friend of mine who was one of the privileged guys that got flown over, you know, and treated and got to see it. And he said that what surprised him is that although in all the pre-photos that he saw, he thought it was going to be plasticky. And that's what was turning him off, that, it's kind of plastic looking and like a new car. And you know, this thing's supposed to be a, you know, badass does everything, just like we said, workhorse. And he goes, I got there, and you know what? It's totally different than I expected. And he goes, in a good way. And he goes, that plasticky look did not. And I want, and so that was good. I can't wait to see it in person. And yeah, those features, I want to talk about those features too, because there's some really cool things you can get. But before we do that, I want to tell you that everybody's got a to-do list. Drop off the dry cleaning, pick up some milk. Here's an idea. Let's save hundreds of dollars on car insurance. And the good thing is, you don't have to drop off or pick up anything. All you have to do is go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. Extra money in your pocket? It just may be the most rewarding to-do you do today. And with that extra money, you can buy a Land Rover Defender. did you see some of that stuff, like the bolt-on side compartments, or the spray nozzle you can pull out and hose everything down, and you know, some really cool stuff.
I gotta say, you know, that they obviously, this was hugely anticipated, and they've spent an unimaginable amount of time working the details, and I think getting it right. I mean, the adventure pack on the little Defender 90, you know, I would totally go there with the satin green. But as you know, I've owned a Series 2, I've owned a Series 3, I've owned a Defender, I've had, you know, Range Rovers, I've had Discoveries. I mean, I've probably had 20 in my life.
I have one question.
I'm close to an expert.
Did your Defender have 12-way heated and powered seats?
I know, right? but like the design lines of the dash and the pass through center and of course the front jump seat, and I mean, they really picked up on a lot of those classic features to kind of keep your mind set on the idea of, look, you know, we took all those familiar things and space and brought it to you in a modern package. And I'm digging that. I mean, I really am. I can't wait to see it in person and experience it. It was just kind of shocking because, I've restored four in my life. You know, I've restored four in my life. So I know every line of these vehicles, and it's hard to see it modernized. But as it sinks in, I'm really liking it. But I really like what they've done to the design and modernized it and kind of paid tribute to that classic styling. But yeah, the features.
You know what I dig the most? Out of everything are the steely wheel option. Just those basic
what I'm looking at.
Steel wheels.
It's like
okay. You see the guy
it's
rolling
like the old
through
NATO style wheels.
You see the guy that's rolling through Beverly Hills in his Defender, and he's got the steely wheels. There better be dirt up the side of that thing. Okay? I mean, that's all I'm saying.
Oh, yeah. There better be dents and dirt. Yeah. And so, battle wounds.
But
the thing, too, with the classics is that they tracked best off-road with the steel wheels and the narrow tires. You know, you don't want a big, giant footprint on the trail. You want a narrower footprint to get through the mud and to get around those obstacles and be able to maneuver. You know, obviously you let some air out and get better grip as a footprint. But especially, you know, Land Rover's whole trip was get through that mud on a thin tire that just kind of cuts through it and throws the mud out, you know, and I think that they've continued that with these steelies. So very cool, man.
Well, I think it'd be really cool to, like, you know, go somewhere, you know, get one of these and take a trip where you go the long way, where it's like, yeah, I could be I could be there in an hour, but I'm going to go where it's going to take me 12 hours because I'm going to drive down this dirt road, go over and get to the same place you wanted to go, but You it that way, you know, because...
Yeah, it's like, man, how did you get so dirty?
Yeah, exactly, you know? So, well, we'll have
you
to wait.
You realize this is a press car.
We'll have to wait for it to come in, but can't wait to see more about it. I mean, it's got a 296-horsepower motor, 295 foot-pound of torque. It gets 0 to 60 miles per hour in 7.7, tops out at 119, and you know, I mean, there's, and like you said, there's a ton of options. Now, you can also go
except
to the
diesel.
You can go to the P400.
The
yeah, but the V6 puts out 395 horsepower. That's pretty damn good.
Yeah, but you don't want a turbo in these things. You just want a good motor that just kind of hums through the trails.
That's
like
true.
Like a diesel.
So
like a diesel.
It's got tow hitch and stuff. I wonder what its towing capacity will be. It's not going
to. I think it's like 6,000 pounds or something. I have to look
really?
That up, but it's considerably high. You're like, what?
Because I always look at my boat. You know, I've got that 26-foot boat and a 3-axle trailer, and I always look at. In most new cars that I look at, new SUVs, nowhere even close.
Right?
Nowhere even close to towing that thing.
So,
we got to wrap this show up, man. We are I want to tell you, speaking of Land Rover, do you know what they delivered me right before we started the show?
Range Rover?
They
Evoque?
They delivered me a Range Rover Evoque. In a dove gray.
Oh.
In a dove gray, that nice
favorite.
Gray with a black top.
Oh,
and that's what I have for the next week to drive, Aaron. It says across the windshield, Tahoe or bust. But the guy said he heard.
Well, come on.
He said there was snow and they couldn't make it up there. And I said, but you're in a Range Rover. And he goes, yeah, we don't want to get this beautiful car dirty.
There's no snow. So, there's no snow.
But yeah, so you're going
to
hear me. You're trying? You're trying what?
No, I was going to say, I'm trying to find the tow specs on that Land Rover.
You can tell us what the towing specs are. On the next episode, when I tell you what I thought about the Range Rover Evoque, and when I publish all the great photos that I'll take of this thing. By the way, this weekend, which is September the 22nd, if you're listening to it before that date, come on down to the Balboa Car Show. It's not Balboa Island. It is Balboa Peninsula in Newport Beach. You can look it up on Instagram by going to @BalboaCarShow, and it'll give you the exact location. But Man Seeks Adventure will be there from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with our sponsor, Shell, doing a live podcast. And it is the finale of Heather and Erica driving down the coast in a 65 Mustang. It's called #2 Car Girls Cruise Cali. And you know, if you check out that hashtag, you'll see a bunch of photos. And Dave Merrick and myself will be there with Heather Storm and with Erica Schroll and some other guests. I know some other people that I've talked to that are going to stop by. So come on down. It's free, and there's probably going to be some prizes and stuff. And our friends at Shell are supporting this. So, you know, support us. Man Seeks Adventure on Instagram. And like I said, #2CarGirlsCruiseCali. And the car girls are not Dave and I. It's Heather and Erica, by the way. So just wanted you to know that, Aaron.
Sounds like fun.
And what do you got? You got a big thing coming down my way also.
Yeah, we've got our High Tide Beach Party coming at the end of the month. Tickets are still available, so definitely check it out. Well, we're starting to post all the cars that are going to be there, including Dad's 79 Trans Am. It has been delivered in Florida, and it's on its way here next week. So really, really excited to see that after 30 years. And it's going to be a great show. We got our lineup posted. If you go to the hightidebeatparty.com, and you'll see the lineup for Saturday's show and Sunday's show. It's
and Sammy is performing in the same shorts that he wore in the photo shoot with that car, right?
His old running shorts. He used to be a tennis player and running. It's amazing what they got away with. It's amazing what they got
away with. We got a few things to we got a little bit of business here to take care of. be sure to go to iTunes, give us a 5-star rating and a comment, because that's really important for the show and its well-being. You can also find all the photo galleries, the cars we drive, plus the events we go to at shiftandsteer.com, plus find every back episode there from day one. And I also wanted to tell you that you can find me, Bradley_Fanshaw, on Instagram. Aaron, where can they find you?
You can find me anywhere on the web under Aaron Hagar or The Rat Runner's Garage. And Hagar Googles pretty well.
So. Cool. And you can find Matt under @Motorator. And by the way, if you're looking for something on the cutting edge of audio entertainment, there's a new series called We're Alive, Gold Rush. It's the end of the world comedy adventure to recover $1 billion in gold in the middle of the apocalypse. Crazy, right? That's just the start.
Wow.
This 10-minute epic features familiar voices such as Christy Carlson Romano from Kim Possible, and guest star Danny Trejo from Practically Everything Awesome, our very own Caitlin Bristow, and more. I don't know any of those names other than Danny Trejo. this oral spaghetti western takes listeners across the wastelands with high-speed chase scenes, battles against the infected, horrors, heroics, love triangles, and, of course, gold. Listen to this audio drama that started it all and be transported into the theater for the mind. Theater of the mind, isn't it? Theater for the mind. We're Alive! Gold Rush from Whalen Productions and Podcast One. First episode is available now on Apple Podcasts and PodcastOne.com. So that's everything for this episode. Aaron, thanks for calling in without any technical interruptions.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's even despite the crazy-ass storm. By the way, Land Rover Defender, 7,700-pound tow.
Whoa!
Capacity.
I'm towing my boat. What? Towing my boat
with a 6-cylinder.
Nice.
What?
How much torque?
We'll close on that one.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Isn't towing, that something?
That could tow my boat or my enclosed car trailer. Okay, we're good. I'm getting one. So, all right, everybody. That's another episode of Shift and Steer. Thanks.
Good day.
If you like this show, also listen to Man Seeks Adventure and Dixon's Wild Ride. You can find Man Seeks Adventure at manseeksadventure.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.